We're into our third and final hour. My name is Jim Rome. Welcome back. Hope your week's off to a nice start. Broadcasting live in Southern California. I am the pimp in the box. And we're in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. Better parts, better prices every day. Once again, we're building a brand new studio. This show is going to be televised on CBS Sports Network starting on January 2nd. So you want to make sure you have CBS Sports Network. Make sure you have the network so you can watch this show. New studio. And we're building it out right now. I saw it at the end of last week. It looks awesome. Can't wait to get there. I'm hyped. Really excited about that. So let me just pick up the start of hour number three where I ended hour number two, and that's the fact that Tennessee needs a new head coach. They've got a head coach on the interim basis, and that's Brady Hoke. But all of a sudden, Vol Nation, they're not concerned about that. They're foaming at the mouth for John Gruden, which I said you can stop right now. The guy's not coached in college since 1991. And how is the Tennessee head coaching job better than the one he has right now with ESPN? You know, you can talk all you want. I don't know about this guy's process. You know, it's long been rumored that nobody hits it as hard as Gruden. He grinds like nobody else. He gets up at 3:17 a.m. every single morning. I'm sure the guy does work it. I'm sure he does work hard at it. But it's not the same lifestyle. It's just not. Doing a game a week is not the same as coaching on the D1 level or in the SEC or in the NFL. It's just not. I don't care how many things they send him out for, how many shows he does. It's not the same lifestyle. It's not the same thing. It's not. Nothing is. Nobody grinds the way an NFL head coach grinds, or nobody grinds the way some of these D1 coaches grind. So how is that a better gig than the one he has right now, where he's making millions and millions a year to go on TV and say stuff that might not even be that insightful? Good work if you can get it. And on top of that, he has endorsements and commercials and other side hustles. So if you're going to come at this guy with an offer of coaching, it better be better than the Tennessee job. And I'm sure they've got some money to throw at it, but probably not enough. So try and talk yourself into this guy coming by telling yourself that he was once an assistant there and that his wife was a cheerleader, but he ain't coming. Chip Kelly would be awesome if you could talk him into it. You know Dan Mullen's name is going to come up. And it should. This guy's a great, great coach. He gave Bama all they could handle this weekend. Now, the thing is, I love Dan Mullen in Stark Vegas. Stark Vegas loves him. He loves Stark Vegas. I would hate to see this guy ever leave. Ever. But the phone will always ring, again, because he's a hell of a coach. Scott Frost, to me, would be a possibility. For Tennessee, or Florida, or Nebraska. And again, speaking of Nebraska, Mike Riley is the nicest man in college football. Husker fans are now saying things that are not very nice about Mike Riley. And by that, I mean they're killing him. Again, really nice dude. As is D coordinator Bob Diaco. So you've got one of the best dudes, two of the best dudes anywhere, but clearly it's not working out for these guys in Lincoln. So we already know that there are two really good SEC jobs open. Certainly others are going to open up. Possibly Nebraska. Coaching carousel is going to spin really fast. Dudes are getting their ducks in a row for it. This guy just will not give it a rest. Rome, admit it. Tennessee can't get Scott Frost because it's impossible to coach two teams at the same time. Signed Aaron in Omaha. Future witness of the Frosty football in Lincoln. War Vols fans convincing themselves Jamal Lewis will be their next head coach. Aaron, how many times have you and I gone over this? Not only, and I love Nebraska football. You know I do. You know I do. I would never, ever crack on Nebraska. I love Nebraska football. Love it. But that said, I'm going to always shoot straight and be real with you. Not only can he do better than Nebraska football, the job he has right now might be better than Nebraska football. I know you find that really hard to believe. It ain't 1994 anymore. He's got a job with unbelievable talent in his own backyard. How do you think he got that thing turned around as quickly as he did? You'd be very fortunate to get this guy, and don't be shocked when you don't. Dear Rome, Butch Jones can be the commissioner of the T-ball league in my town any day. Everybody's a winner. Matt in Texas, good point. Rome, Butch did everything required to keep a job in the NCAA except score points. Other than that, I have no issues with how he coached that team. Shane and SLO. Good point, Shane. Remember after the South Carolina game? This season, Butch said, quote, I thought we did all the things it takes to play winning football except one element, and that's score touchdowns. He said that. You can't say things like that in the SEC and expect to keep your job. Not when you lose 6 of 8, not when you're 0-6, not when you're getting hammered. And then say things like, hey, you know what? We had a hell of a day. We did everything you have to do to win football games except score touchdowns. I'm proud of my kids. They did everything I asked of them except score points. You know where to find me. Hit me up right now. 1-800-636-8686. Bills Mafia, it's time. Let's talk about what's happened to your team the last couple of weeks. Now we're on in New Orleans, and we're on in Buffalo, so I've got to ask, Saints fan, how you living right now? More importantly, Bills Mafia, what are you drinking right now? I mean, is there anything strong enough on the planet to black out what the Saints just did to you yesterday? Those recalled bottles of 77% Magic Blue probably would not even do the trick. Not when you're pulling black and gold spikes out of your face. Let me stop right there. That is not a green light for you to send me emails about other people who you think have bad complexions. These guys really did have spikes in their face. The other guys that you want to reference, and I'm not going to mention any names, never did. So I don't want any emails or tweets about exploding pineapple factories or bags of burning nickels or anything else that you say or use to explain somebody who has a zit-ridden grill. Grow the hell up. Nobody's playing porcupine dodgeball. Just stay on topic. And here's your topic. The Saints hung 47 on the Bills yesterday. And they did it with exactly zero passing TDs. Can I repeat that? 47 points, no touchdowns through the air. Instead, Sean Payton called 48 run plays, and he lit the entire region of Western New York on fire for 300 yards and 6 house calls.
Hand off left side and in for the touchdown. Standing up is Mark Ingram for the score. Threes in the shotgun. Ingram gets the call left side. Puts his head down with second and third effort. He's to the goal line and he's in for the score. Threes up under center. Flip it to the right. Kamara, has he got room? To the goal line. He's in. Here's Ingram, second effort to the goal line and he is in too. Threes in the shotgun. Really want to throw it. He looks to his left, now to his right, rolls to his left, staying alive, looking into the end zone, all the way to the side, and it's going to be Breeze to the pylon and in. You hear the Who Dat chant in the background. Daniel handing it off Edmonds. He's got some running room left side, has the first down, scampering down the sideline inside the 10, 5, touchdown.
Saints Radio. And if you're wondering, did I just hear a highlight of Drew Breeze running one in from 7 yards out? Yes, you did. You also heard Mark Ingram banging down the door 3 times. Alvin Kamara and Trey Edmonds getting their fists full of pay dirt too. I mean, I so badly want to make this all about the Saints and their 7-game win streak, and it is mostly about that. And the fact that they have become the first team since the 1940s to run for 6 TDs and not punt once. And that their running game just made history in the same season that they ran Adrian Peterson out of their backfield 4 games in. And that Drew Brees, for the first time in his career, has a team that can bail him out instead of the other way around. I want to make it all about that. And I probably could. But I shouldn't. Because on the other side of that wax job is the Bills Mafia. And 2 weeks ago, when the Bills were tied atop the AFC East, I was getting calls to my voicemail that sounded like this.
Mike in Buffalo! 5-2 for the Bills.
I got a feeling the Buffalo's going to the Super Bowl.
How many morons took part in that call? You hear these guys. 2 weeks ago, I was getting calls like that to my voicemail. Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago feels like 18 years ago. 18 years ago. Because the longest playoff drought in sports is hanging over the great city of Buffalo. And just when it looked like that dark cloud was finally going to pass, the Jets stunned the Bills and the Saints knocked them the hell out. So the question, and it's a legitimate question, who the hell are these Bills? Are they what we saw in the first seven games when they fired out 5-2, or are they the team that we've seen the last two? I'll tell you this, we're going to find out. Because Buffalo is going to hop a cross-country bird to play the Chargers in their soccer stadium. And the Chargers unfortunately found a way to lose another tough one. They've got to deal with the Chargers in Carson, and then they have to double back to Arrowhead and deal with the Chiefs. Then it's the Pats at home 3 weeks from right now, so it's only going to get tougher. It's a good thing you had that 5-2 start. So while they have the final wild card spot right now, there's still a long way to go and a hell of a lot of good teams to get through. Life does come at you fast, Mafia. This all looks so great 2 weeks ago, and now it's all ripping apart. Godspeed, Bills Mafia. It's a brutal road ahead. I mean, that sounds like he's got a whole party. Like, they're all partying on Saturday night. Hey, let's call Rome. I mean, that sounds like a room of 10 or 15 people, doesn't it? Five at least. Yeah, that or they're going to get the hell beat out of them by the Jets and then the Saints. The Jets are not who we thought they were, and even worse, neither are the Bills. Boy, I thought these issues were gone. When they kicked Rex to the curb, I thought it was over. When they brought McDermott in, I thought it was over. When they started 5-2, I thought it was over. Or maybe the Saints really are that good. If the Saints can beat you up and beat you down like that without even throwing the football, they're dangerous because we know they're so much better defensively than they've been. Dear Rome, I thought Orenthal getting run from the Cosmopolitan was the worst thing that happened to a Buffalo Bill this weekend. Then I saw what happened to the Bills D-line when Ingram and company punched them in the face.
Oh.
Rube in Richmond. Somebody ran down Oge and asked him for his reaction to his former team getting hammered by the Saints the way they were. When asked to elaborate, Oge said, when asked what he told authorities when they removed him from the Cosmopolitan when he was allegedly minding his own business, Oge said, when Steve Wynn said he didn't want him coming around any of his properties, Oge responded by saying, when reminded that he was going to find the real killers and asked for a response, Oge said, when told that he was no longer going to be allowed to have any more oatmeal cookies in prison, Oge responded by saying, when asked what he thought of the other inmates glossing him stinky, Oge said, when we come back, I want to talk about the Rams. I still haven't gotten there yet. This tweet is from @512Lumber. Dear Bills fan, might I suggest Rum Chata, signed Houston fan.
Oh.
When Home Slice in Houston ran out of Rum Chata and was told there was no more in his cabinet, he said, Jason tweets, Bills fans are left the same way this year as every year. Cold, fat, ugly, and living in their mom's basement. Signed, Bills fans' parents, for the last time. Somebody living in their mom's basement is not funny. That's like the go-to line of all of you who are not funny. Insert so-and-so in somebody's mom. Every time I see a mom's basement email, you know what goes through my mind? Again, I'm looking for an ATP. Somebody pick me up with an ATP. Come on, man. I went to New York and back the same weekend. I show up here on a Monday loaded for bear. Good content, good energy, good interviews. I've done my job. Now do yours. Somebody pick me up with a good ATP. I can't write them myself. I can't write myself question. Oh, I mean, I could. In fact, hell, I probably should. How much better would that segment be if I wrote myself questions? Somebody do it. Hit me up for the ATP. Also, when we come back, I want to hit on the Rams. They have never looked better. And when I say they have never looked better, I mean they have never looked better. Like the greatest show on turf. That good.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Those of you waiting for that Josh Beckett mugger, it's out. And looks pretty much as bad as you'd expect. You've probably seen that story. Josh Beckett apparently was in a small bar watching, or maybe a small club, watching a country music singer, and he ran up on stage and body slammed this cat. And this guy ended up with a rotator cuff. He got his rotator cuff separated, or shoulders separated, rotator cuff tear apparently. And this cat got laid out. I mean, laid out. And Beckett is not a small dude. Beckett goes like 230 plus. And Beckett apparently ran up on stage and just laid this guy out. And got arrested for it. And then in the aftermath, was trying to talk about how it was just like horseplay. They were just roughhousing. Or horseplay is how it was termed. This dude's out there and like his wing is destroyed. Separated shoulder and a rotator cuff. Hey, listen, I'm not saying that I've played the game at the highest level. I would never suggest that. But I did have a rotator cuff tear once. Man, that hurts like hell. That's the kind of thing like, and the way I got it was even more infuriating. I worked out with a guy and I trusted my trainer. He's like, come on, man, come on. Go, push it. You know, and like anybody else, you take that as a challenge. And I pushed it. And then he tore my rotator cuff. Thanks for nothing, paid professional. I remember rolling over in the middle of the night on my arm. Oh, damn. That hurt. So this is what this guy's dealing with right now. And Beckett's like, oh, yeah, we were just kind of roughhousing, horseplay. What, in the middle of a set in a bar? Anyway, the authorities didn't buy it. They picked him up. They arrested him. And that mugshot is pretty much exactly what you'd expect that mugshot to look like. My man looks wasted. So I'll probably have more on that story for you tomorrow. This guy's just up there doing what he's doing on stage. Hey, look, I don't know. Maybe there is an explanation. Maybe there is something to describe what that was all about. I haven't seen the video. I don't know exactly what happened. But the story is this guy's just up there on stage doing his thing, jamming, and he got laid out. So we'll see. But if you're of the genre, the mugshot genre, which I know a lot of you clones love, go find it. It's one of the best muggers I've seen in a while. Beckett left both his feet, reportedly, to tackle this guy. Well, they better have hit him with a targeting call, too. Picture's pretty amazing. I mean, dude left both his feet. He's airborne. There is a picture on TMZ Sports. My man's airborne. Dude on the guitar is looking over like, damn, what's up? Sound guy's not even paying attention. But Beckett left his feet. He has apologized since the incident and says he's going to try to do what he can to make amends. But sew this guy's arm back onto his shoulder? What are you going to do to make amends? Scratch a big fat check. If you start rubbing a check on that shoulder, it might feel better. Not to mention all the rehab the guy's going to have to do right now. You know this guy's going to come with something like, hey, you know what? He's impacted my ability to make a living. I'm a musician without an arm now. Why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge extended performance for less? Goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge. It's more than just an oil. It's liquid engineering. Now, whenever Beckett shows up for a concert, the band's going to be like, oh, hell no. No, I don't want this guy at my show. I've seen this guy's act when he's allegedly having fun. And just roughhousing or horseplaying. Oh, hell no. We can't have this guy here. You know what else he tried to argue? He tried to argue that he was stage diving. Beckett said he was just stage diving. Bro, The stage dive is when you get up on the stage and you dive into the audience. You don't run up on the stage and dive into the lead singer. That's not a stage dive. There's another term for that. It's assault. I'm looking at this picture, and if you look at the picture, and again, this guy's a world-class athlete, all right? He played Major League Baseball for a long time at the highest level. So that's a big dude with game and skill. This dude is airborne. The picture's amazing. He's airborne. He jumped a speaker and a drum to get at this guy. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, all right? So fine. He was not coming at it from a bad place. He was not trying to hurt this guy. He was just having a good time. He got caught up. What's the mindset like? Damn, man. Dude, you are the best. I love you guys. He's not trying to, like, hug on this guy. I mean, he laid this cat out. Splat. Jacked him up. There you go. So we'll see how that plays out. He'll make amends. I'm guessing probably so. To what extent? How many amends? How do you make amends? 50,000 amends? 100,000 amends? Seven-figure amends? You're never allowed to see one of our shows ever again. Amends. If you've seen that mugshot, what do you think? Meantime, let's get a short time out in here. We had GLC on earlier. We had Theo Riddick on. Listen, tomorrow's podcast is going to be an all-timer. It's one of my favorites. And it's another reason to do the podcast. I keep talking about how I like doing the podcast because I can do an interview that I can never do on this show. There are certain stories and certain people and certain conversations that I could never possibly have in 8 minutes or even 12 minutes, but need like 30 minutes. This one tomorrow is that. It's an amazing documentary that we'll get into. But I cannot wait for episode 13 of the Jim Rome podcast. Make note of that. That's going to drop tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to have that conversation tomorrow afternoon. When we come back, I've got the ATP. Also, for the podcast, last chance to get your voicemail in there. If maybe you're not comfortable calling this show live and you feel better about taking your chances on tape, dial this number right now. There's still room. 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. And when we come back, I do want to talk about the Rams. Right now, though, time for a sports update here. I just got sucked down the rabbit hole of celebrity facelifts. My bad. I never do that. I just couldn't resist. There's some butchered grills. God, the internet's the worst. Welcome back. Time now for the ATP. Time to ask the pros. Where you clones get to ask me a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They'll help you choose the superstar battery that is an exact fit for your car. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Brent in PC asks, when you get your shiny new studio, what are you going to do with the old one? The same thing anybody does with any apartment that they move out of. It's the lease is up. It goes to somebody else. I can't sublet it to somebody. It's not my vacation home that I can see or let people use. It's not mine. It's not mine. I don't need to get a realtor to sell it. It's not mine. We lease the space. It belongs to somebody else. So I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. Brent, if you want to move in and host a show, you could take it up with them. I don't know if it's going to stay a studio. I don't know if they'll take the studio out. I've been in this space for more than a decade, but we do not own the space. We lease the space. So I'm going to move into a new shiny space, and what the landlord will do with this space is anybody's guess. I've got no idea. I'm just leaving. But it's been a great run. It's been an amazing building to work in, and they do a great job of maintaining this place. I'll miss it. I'll miss it until I get into my brand new space, which is even nicer, and then I'll be fine. Aaron in Phoenix asks, Rome, since the Jungle will be on TV starting January, will Alvin and Hawk be required to wear the face cake? And if so, how excited is Hawk? Thanks. That's really funny. I hadn't thought about that. Now, you've seen these shows, right? There's a lot of radio shows on TV, and they've always got that shot that when they're going to break, they show the crew, or when they're coming back, they show the crew, or maybe sometimes there's talk back between the crew and the host. It never dawned on me whether or not the crew gets face cake. Imagine Hawk showing up there one day trying to cut the line. Hey, Avi, come on, man. You know I got to go first. There's like, it's really funny. Even on the NFL and CBS, there's like this whole, there's a hierarchy. We all get face cake, and you all have to get in line to get your face cake. Needless to say, I don't jump the line to get in front of Boomer. Boomer's face cake comes before my face cake. Nor do I jump the line to get in front of Phil Simms. His face cake comes before my face cake. In fact, all their face cake comes before my face cake. I'm the last one to get cake. But even I get some. Adam, I know you got your hopes up, bro. You may not need cake. You might not get any of that face cake. Come on, man. And trust me, you don't want it. You can't get that crap off your face. It's gotten better over the years. It's gotten much better. It's much lighter now. They do things. There's technology. It's like anything else. The technology has advanced. When I first got into TV, and I was on ESPN2 in the early 90s, they went with this super, super, super heavy bass. I literally still have makeup in my pores from 1993. I can't get that crap out, no matter what I do. You could sandblast your face. It will not come out. You don't want the face cake. It ends up on your clothes. You can't get it off your face. It's in your pores. It's not as cool as it sounds, wearing makeup. Ladies, I don't know how you do it. It takes time to put on. It's impossible to get off. And you got to do it. Q in San Diego asks, sup, Jim? Javier's is your spot in the OC. Is there a spot in San Diego that is the Javier's of San Diego for you? Thanks, mate. That's a good question. That's a good question. We love San Diego. I always defer to my wife for that. Janet can always pick me up. Let me think. There's a place. What is the name of the place that is... Damn. Let me think on that, Q. Don't ask me that question after a round trip to New York in one weekend and back. What is the sushi place that was at the Aventine? It's going to come to me. It'll come to me. I like that place a lot. We're big on Del Mar. Love Del Mar. Love La Jolla. Love going downtown. Carlsbad is good. You can't go wrong in San Diego. But no, to answer your question, is there a spot in San Diego that is the Javier's of San Diego? The answer to that is no. There's no other spot to me like Javier's. Javier's is my favorite spot. So nothing compares. Not too bad on the ATP. Good job, good effort.
Good job, good effort.
Japango, exactly. It's Japango. Cafe Japango. Love that. Enjoy that spot a lot. Cafe Japango. Janet and I will definitely try and work that in. You know, going back to that topic I had earlier where I said that the crew at the NFL and CBS was kind of incredulous that there wasn't more positive run for the Rams in this town. Well, I'm to blame, right? I'm in this town, and I'm not talking about the Rams. So before I end the program, I want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. Let's talk about the Rams. Five letters, two words, Alvy. Ram it. I read that quote from Jadeveon Clowney. Post-game, he said, man, that bleep was crazy. I don't know how they did that. Well, they did that because of 31-year-old head coach Sean McVay. He called the 6 yards they had in the first quarter, quote, a puke fest. Even better than that quote, and that's one of my favorite ones of the year. Hey, coach, what do you make of the 6 yards your offense totaled in the first quarter? Oh, that. Yeah, that was a puke fest. His message at halftime to the offensive unit was, quote, if we don't piss down our legs, we'll get it together and win this game. Mike Silver had that quote from Sean McVay. So he called the first quarter a puke fest and told his guys at halftime, quote, if we don't piss down our legs, we'll get it together and we'll win this game. And then after a quick punt and pinned inside their own 10-yard line, Jared Goff lights the wick on the Rams offense when he finds Robert Woods streaking long, and then that route was on.
Goff goes under center, no huddle. Again, turns left shoulder. This time, play action from his own end zone. He winds up and deals down the middle. At the 50, it's hauled in Robert Woods. He's behind everybody. 10-5, touchdown, Robert Woods.
Ram it. They're 7-2. They've scored more points through nine games than they scored all of last season. They're the number one scoring offense in the NFL, running stride for stride with the Kurt Warner era greatest show on turf. That good. Through nine games, they're on pace to match the 526 points that the Rams scored back in 99. It's unbelievable what Sean McVay has done with Jared Goff, how he's brought Todd Gurley back, what he's done with that offense. They're 7-2 for the first time since 01. Remember, that was when Kurt Warner was throwing it to Ike Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Oz Hakeem, when Marshall Faulk was a first-team All-Pro. Now it's Goff turning to Todd Gurley for big yardage, throwing it downfield to Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, two guys that McVay ripped out of Buffalo and turned into stars. Aaron Donald dominating in the trenches. And now it's the Rams' division to lose, with Seattle having to deal with the loss of Richard Sherman. Now, they still got to prove that they can do it against the best of the best, and they'll have that chance. Two straight games. There will be appointment viewing across the NFL. They go to Minnesota to take on the 7-2 Vikes. Then the Saints come to the Coliseum on their own heater. Games against the Hawks and division leaders Tennessee and Philadelphia also are still on the slate. But you go back a year ago at this time, Jeff Fisher was losing his team. The Rams were five games into a slide where they would lose 11 out of 12. Goff hadn't even started a game yet. And the offense would not score more than three touchdowns in a game the rest of the season. Yesterday, they scored three in the third quarter. Amazing difference a year makes. What a difference a coach makes, especially when that coach is a prodigy. The Rams are bringing Showtime back to L.A. thanks to the crazy genius of Sean McVay. This guy knows a lot of stuff, and what he doesn't know, he doesn't pretend to know, and he brings in somebody who does, like Bum Son. These guys are incredible. L.A., I know you're a little laid back. I know you're late to these things. Give him credit. Can you give him some bleeping credit, as Phil Jackson would say?
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
For real. The Rams, look at him. Can you give him some bleeping credit? For real. They're 7-2 in first. And look amazing doing it. Browns got over the hump. Man, that was so clutch. I love the way they clutched up. Don't have time to get to that, but they did clutch up. Also, tomorrow I've got to reset Josh Beckett. There's so much more to that story. I can't do that thing justice in mentioning it in passing. He wants to make amends with the lead singer of that band. You know how you make amends with a guy whose arm you separated? By not separating his arm. That's how you make amends. If a picture says 1,000 words, that one probably says 1,000,000. That story will be a part of the show tomorrow as well. Anybody else? Let's get a phone call in here. This guy's been on hold a long, long time. And by a long time, I mean almost the entire program. Rich in Detroit. Hey, Rich, wake up. I'm coming to you in a couple of seconds. Rich in the D. Rich, you made it on. What's going on? How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Rich. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about?
Well, honestly, I just want to talk about the Jerry Jones, Roger Goodell type nonsensical BS that's going on. The only time I want to hear that for the rest of the season or ever is if they decide to put the gloves on and either get into the octagon or the ring, and maybe I will listen to some chatter about it and then order it on pay-per-view like Conor McGregor and Mayweather. That's that. Next, Ezekiel Elliott, what a clown, and a lucky clown at that. And the words that I'm trying to refrain from using, I'm going to use the word clown. Dude, you got six games. Take the six games. Do it like you do tattoos. Either you're drunk and you get a stupid tattoo and you regret it, or you get a tattoo that has a purpose and is meaningful for you. For you, I would suggest a portrait of Ray Rice on your chest with the words hashtag women's rights on your chest, and pray to whatever person you believe in to say that you are thankful for still being in the league.
I know what the answer to that question is.
Hey, Rich, I gotta jump in. Any more fire from you and you'll burn this house to the ground. Wow, dude. My sincere apologies. If I had any idea that you were going to bring that kind of heat to this program, there's no way I would have had you on hold more than 2 hours the way that I did. Glad we got that one in. Alvin, what kind of alarm is that? Oh, that's the fire alarm for the extreme heat that Rich just brought. Damn. Hey, listen, I'm pretty secure with myself. I'm pretty secure in my abilities. I'm pretty confident. But when a caller comes in and just starts setting them up and knocking them down like that, and their takes are fire and so much better than mine, yeah, I got to end that call. Time for me to update my resume. Hey, Rome, let's not forget that Jeff Fisher almost ruined Case Keenum's career as well. He's suddenly a beast, signed Azad in San Diego. Hey, what do you do if you're Minnesota? Case Keenum looked really good yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater's on the sideline for the first time in 22 months. Really good story. Keenum's awesome. He really is awesome. If you listen to what he had to say after that game, he was talking to MMQB. They're saying all the right things, and then they're saying all the perfect things and meaning it. And he was saying things like, look, I'm just driving that Ferrari until they tell me I can't drive that Ferrari, and then it's going to go back in the garage. Teddy is like the best teammate ever. Teddy can do things that I could never do. I'm just going to enjoy this thing while I can. In the meantime, the guy played lights out. So if you're Minnesota and you've got that defense and you're playing as well as you are right now, I mean, nobody's saying that Teddy Bridgewater is not the franchise. We know this and the future, but he hasn't played in 22 months. Keenum is looking pretty good. Are you going to take the ball from Keenum and give it right back to Bridgewater when they're going as well as they are? Maybe you are, and maybe you're not. In the meantime, are we ever going to see Jimmy Garoppolo? All topics for another day. And that's that. Huge call today brought to you by blank. You can holiday shop online. Crooks holiday shop on your porch. That's some freaking fire right there. Cops call them package pirates. Stop the package pirates this holiday season by getting Blink home security camera. Visit blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome to get 10% off today. blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome. blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome. That's incredible. You holiday shop online. Crooks holiday shop on your porch. I gotta get out. See you tomorrow. We're done.